What is the gospel? Well, the word gospel comes to us from the old English words good and spell. Good spell, gospel. And good means good, and spell means something like words or news. So the gospel is the good news. The original word in the Greek text of Mark that we hear as gospel is actually evangelion. The Greek word means something a little bit more like announcing well. It's not so much good news that, oh, you hear, oh yes, our team won the basketball game, but announcing well. There's a dynamic action component to it. The gospel is an action word, not a passive word. It's a announcing that brings great joy to those who hear the words. Mark's account of the life of Jesus begins with a title: The Beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Good News of Jesus. So what is the good news of Jesus Christ? Well, first, Jesus himself is the good news. Jesus is the Word of God. In the Gospel of John, we hear at the beginning that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus is news. He is a Word. And it's good news because this is the Word of God. It comes from God. And God is all good. So Jesus is the good news. But in addition, Jesus is the Son of God. And this is news indeed, that God has a Son, and more importantly, that God is Son, that Jesus is God. And this is something new, something wonderful, a new way for us to know God. Better yet, Jesus is a new way that we encounter and meet God as someone who is like us in all things but sin. Jesus' presence among us reveals the great love that God has for us, his children. He loves us so much that he wanted to become one of us, to take on our nature, to bear our burdens, and ultimately to express his love for us by giving his life so that we might be healed from the wounds of sin. There is no doubt that human life and the life that Jesus lived is difficult. It's hard. It's a struggle. So we might ask the question, is human life good, or is it just filled with misery? You might be tempted to think, as the philosopher Thomas Hobbes thought, that life is solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short. Some people see humanity as a mistake of nature, as a destructive and evil creature that really shouldn't be around. But our faith and the incarnation shows us something different, that this is not the case. Jesus, the Son of God, God himself, took on human nature, and God, being all good, cannot take on for himself something that is evil. He can't. He simply can't. It's impossible. So human nature is good. The incarnation shows us that all human life is good. Jesus did not skip any part of it. He didn't skip that being a helpless infant. He didn't skip being someone who's dying in agony. He lived the whole of life. And so all parts of human life have value, even the hard parts. In fact, it is precisely because life has value that Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross has meaning for us. Because if life didn't have value, didn't have purpose, didn't have worth, then his death surely couldn't have meaning either. All human life has a special dignity because we are made in the image and likeness of God. We are like God. And this too is part of the good news, the gospel, that despite the plague of sin that has damaged human nature since the fall of man, all humans are good and worth saving, worth redeeming, worth working for. The good news, this good news is still good today. It is still a wonderful thing for us to know that we are loved by God so much. But it's also still news. It's still a newsworthy message that the world needs to hear. In particular, our contemporary culture has become a culture of death, where only certain kinds of life are valued. Are you suffering from a terminal disease? Well, the culture of death says that you should kill yourself so that you're not a burden to society. Are you an innocent unborn child? Well, then you can be safely killed and no one's going to worry about it. No one's going to protect and fight for your life. And since the 1970s in the United States, about 60 million unborn children have been killed in the act of abortion. Our bishop, Jaime Soto, has declared Monday, which is the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court decision that legalized abortion, he has declared tomorrow a day of reparation in our diocese, a day of reparation for the crime of abortion. He has asked all of us tomorrow to pray, to fast, to do penance, and to do works of mercy. In addition, he has encouraged all of us to participate in the Walk for Life in San Francisco, which will be taking place next Saturday on the 27th. It's been about 40 years since abortion was legalized in Roe v. Wade, and sometimes it can seem like the pro-life movement is fighting a losing battle, that we're not making any progress. But recall the first reading and the prophet Jonah and the city of Nineveh. Nineveh was a huge city. It took 3 whole days to walk across it, full of people who Jonah did not like at all. They were, in fact, his enemies. And he was a foreigner in their land. But he walked through the streets as God's messenger, proclaiming the terrible consequences of the deeds of the people of Nineveh. And you know what? The people listened. They listened to Jonah. They proclaimed a fast. All, great and small, did acts of penance, and they turned away from their evil ways. So I strongly encourage you to imitate Jonah, to walk through the streets of the great city of San Francisco, to give witness to the evil that is abortion and the goodness of life. The good news of Jesus is not his message alone, but rather he calls us to announce it as well, for us to make it our good news. Jesus said to Simon and his brother Andrew, "Come after me." And they left their nets behind and followed. Jesus said to James and to John, "Come after me." And they left their father and the nets and the boats and the hired men behind and followed Jesus. Why? Why does Jesus call these men? Because Jesus wants his message, the good news, to be their message and their good news too. He wants them to share in the joy, the great joy of being a messenger of the gospel. And of course, he wants all people, not just those in Galilee 2,000 years ago to hear the good news, but everyone, because the good news of Jesus is good news for all people. But we haven't quite got there yet. The world needs more fishers of men. Jesus needs more people working in his fishing boat to cast the net, to pull in the miraculous catch of people who are hungry for the good news. The world needs more priests to be God's instruments in the sacraments, bringing healing from sin. The world needs more nuns and monks and friars and sisters to pray for the conversion of the world and to bring God's love to those in need. St. Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians, "I tell you, brothers and sisters, the time is running out. From now on, let those having wives act as not having them, for the world in its present form is passing away." St. Paul has a sense that something new is happening, something different, something that means we have to look at the world in a new way. There is a radical goodness in being a fisher of men. I can say from my own experience that it's a great gift, a great joy, a great honor and privilege to be able to devote my life full time to preaching the gospel. It is a really good thing. And so I ask all of you to please pray. Pray for vocations to the priesthood, to religious life, and help the young people that you know to see the great goodness in the words that Jesus addresses to all of us. "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men."